Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties
as mayor of the city and borough of Sitka to the best of my ability.
As mayor of the city and borough of Sitka to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Min McConnell officially became Sitka's new mayor last night. Municipal Clerk Colleen Ingman administered the oath of office to McConnell, along with Assembly members Matt Hunter, Michelle Putz, and Phyllis Hackett. But it didn't take long before the Assembly was digging into one of Sitka's biggest problems, how to pay for the Blue Lake Dam expansion. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
The problem is this. Raising the Blue Lake Dam by 80-plus feet is going to cost more than the city of Sitka had planned. The community has already requested more funding from the state legislature.
But we won't be able to find out,
says City Finance Director Jay Sweeney,
what, if any, of that assistance we will receive until the next calendar year, until springtime.
And the bills will start coming in before then. So, Sitka is off to the bank, as it were, for a loan. The Alaska Municipal Bond Bank is an arm of the state's Department of Commerce. It makes direct loans to municipalities for big projects, and at the end of this month, city officials are going to ask the bond bank for another $30 million. Now, that part isn't really a surprise. The city had planned to borrow additional funding for the project anyway, but Sweeney told the Assembly that the bond bank wants a little more information.
Their board of directors would be very reluctant to want to take on lending more money in stages unless they knew the total amount of the possible exposure that could come to them.
In other words, Sitka needs to tell the bank just how much the city could possibly need if no money shows up from the state. That number is somewhere north of $80 million.
By doing that, we are handing ammunition to the people who will not be supporting us.
Assemblymember Tor Christensen.
The more work we do to cover this, if the state doesn't come through, the less likely it is the state's going to come through.
Christensen worries that lawmakers from other parts of the state will look at the city's request to bond the entire cost of the project and say Sitka doesn't need any more state funding. He wanted to move the meeting into executive session to discuss strategy. Both the Daily Sitka Sentinel and KCAW requested the conversation be held in public, and assembly members decided to stay out in the open. Here's Assemblymember Michelle Putz.
We all have seen most of these numbers, and I don't foresee us coming up with a better strategy in the next half hour. I think this is what we're almost stuck with.
Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett agreed and said the stakes could not be higher.
You know, what we're hearing is that this is the only way the bond bank's going to really consider it. If the bond bank says no to us, then sort of end of project. And we can't really put ourselves in that position because we don't really have a choice about this. We have to have this project go. So we have to follow the recommendations of the bond bank.
The assembly ultimately gave unanimous support to going to the bond bank and disclosing the $80 million, knowing that city officials are only going to ask for $30 million.
I think the only option we have is to pass this as the bond bank wants it, hope to heck they say yes to us as a fallback, and then go to Juneau and speak our case.
Millions of dollars already spent on the Blue Lake project are riding on that case, and city officials will probably spend the early part of 2013 hoping a check shows up from the legislature. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Sitka's energy situation was among a variety of issues U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski addressed during a visit to Sitka last week. She gave a nearly hour-long interview to local reporters, and today we're airing some excerpts. We'll begin with what she had to say about Blue Lake.
You need this hydro expansion. You have to have it. And yet, as a community, that's going to be a tough hit if, in fact, your rates are really increased 30 to 35%, if those numbers are accurate.
Yes.
I don't know many communities that could take on an additional hit to their energy cost like that. And this is hard because it's not like there are opportunities at the federal level where we can kind of swoop in and help out. And I didn't mean to put the monkey on Representative Thomas's back, but it was sure convenient to have him there and remind him what the state contribution will need to be. But I look at these energy solutions for our communities, and I think if there's any way that the state can be a better investment partner so that our communities can be strong and be vibrant because people can afford to live there, then that's as important as anything we have to do. Jobs are important, but you've got to be able to live in your town. And if you don't have energy solutions that work, it's just not happening.
That's Senator Lisa Murkowski talking about the Blue Lake Hydro Project. Federal dollars aren't easily available for hydro because the federal government doesn't consider it a renewable resource. Murkowski says that's based on large-scale hydro projects that have done environmental damage in other parts of the United States, and that she spends a lot of time explaining how Alaska's smaller-scale projects are different. During her interview with local reporters, Murkowski also talked about the November election. She has endorsed Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, but also says she can't wait for Election Day to come and go. Elected leaders spend way too much time campaigning, she said, and not nearly enough time governing. Murkowski says millions of dollars in campaign spending have gone down what she calls a rat hole, and that it's not helping citizens get the information they need about candidates. She says she's working with Democratic colleagues to fashion some sort of disclosure law that meets constitutional muster. And she expressed frustration at the Supreme Court's 2010 Citizens United decision, which allowed unlimited campaign contributions to political action committees.
I can say that my campaign was probably one of the first beneficiaries, if you will, of Citizens United, where you can take, I called it a 529, it's 527, where you can allow for that kind of an unlimited donation with very limited disclosure. And I was the beneficiary. So you would think that, well, okay, I need to protect it because you never can tell when I'm going to need it again. But here's the rub here. It just doesn't seem right that as long as you're giving it to me, the candidate, you're subject to this full disclosure, but that you should be able to give it to a group who was formed to really help influence my election. And because it's not directly to me, that somehow or other you can hide behind that smoke. It just doesn't seem right.
Murkowski spoke with KCAW's Ed Ronco and the Daily Sitka Sentinel's Tom Hess and Thad Polson for nearly an hour last week. You can hear the interview on our website. You can listen to it from start to finish, or you can click on a topic and hear only that portion. It's all online at kcaw.org. The Coast Guard's newest asset for Southeast is now on station. The cutter Chandelure stopped in Juneau on Friday before heading back to its designated port of Ketchikan. The 110-foot Chandelure replaces the medium-endurance cutter, Acushnet, which was decommissioned last year. The Acushnet was named Queen of the Fleet, or oldest-serving vessel in the Coast Guard fleet, just before going out with 67 years of total service. The Chandelure was recently stationed in Florida and just went through a 9-month refit. Senator Lisa Murkowski criticized the vessel's proposed reassignment to Alaska last year and said it would have a hard time getting out to the Gulf of Alaska. The Chandelure has a crew of 17. Lieutenant Sam Blaze commands the Chandelure. He spoke with KTOO's Matt Miller.
Where do you hail from?
I'm originally from Philadelphia.
Where other stations have you been posted at before?
I was on the Dallas in Charleston, South Carolina. Went to the, which was a 378. Went to the Monomoy, forward deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom as XO. Went to the Coast Guard Cutter Seneca out of Boston, Massachusetts. Then I got assigned to the Chandelure as the CO.
So it sounds like this is your first tour in Alaska, right?
It is, yes.
Okay. Did you get assigned to the Chandelure before or after the renovation?
I've been on board for a year. So my first year was in Miami, delivered her to the renovation, and then worked on other cutters out of Miami until picking her back up to bring her up here.
Okay. So are you going to be with the vessel now for the beginning of its tour in Ketchikan?
Yes, I'll be here for the next 2 years.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the vessel. What's been done to it to fix it up?
She got most of her, a lot of hull work and a lot of metal replacement done on her since she is 20-plus years old. She also got upgraded electronics packages. We got some updated navigation capabilities as well as making sure that we had the the latest in technology on board for the radios and communication gear.
So it's a 25-year-old vessel, but this sounds like just kind of a standard upgrade overhaul.
It was a major refit. It took 9 years or 9 months. The premise of it was to strip everything out of it and put everything new back in to make her last longer. We were up there during part of it, and literally the only thing left on board was the kitchen sink. Everything else, it was taken out, and they put it all back together.
Engines, generators?
Generators, piping, wiring, everything was taken out, and they put all new piping, wiring, and they replaced the parts of the hull that needed replacement, and they replaced the entire aluminum on the main deck.
Okay. So it sounds like the hull itself still has quite a few number of years yet to go, right?
The hull is designed to last for many years to come.
Tell me about the Island class. We've seen a couple of other Island class cutters around. There's the Liberty out here, and then there's the Anticapa, and then also the Nashon. Tell me a little bit about the boat itself. What's it designed for?
It's a 110-foot patrol boat. We're designed to do coastal search and rescue, law enforcement, anything from fishing boat towing up to picking people up out of the water right of their boats have sunk from them. Capable of going out in rather decent-sized seas, but only in the coastal waters.
I imagine you've probably heard a little bit about this from maybe your superiors, but there was some sort of criticism leveled at the Coast Guard. When the Acushnet was decommissioned, it was a medium endurance cutter, 213 feet, and there were some folks that said, really? You're sending up the Chandelure? It's only a 110-footer. It's not going to be able to make it out there too far in the Gulf.
We have a different mission than the Acushnet. We're going to focus more on the southeast of Alaska. The Acushnet had a lot of focus on the offshore fishing fleets, so we will be more in the inside pass doing the missions that the 110s have been doing and patrolling the waters down here. So we'll have a more immediate impact to the people in the southeast Alaska.
What about the missions of the former Acushnet? Is that going to be covered by the new high endurance cutter class?
I'm not sure about what the Coast Guard's plan with that is, but we're up here to supplement the 110 fleet and not replace the missions that the Acushnet was.
And you got 18 guys and gals on board, right?
We have a crew of 17. We have racks for 18 on board.
Everybody's going to be based in Ketchikan, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was the idea of coming back up here to Juneau before heading back down to Ketchikan?
Come up here to Juneau just to allow the sector and the people of the district to welcome us here and make sure that we can have the crew actually see the people we're going to be working for.
Probably a little bit of familiarization crews too, right?
Yes.
Has anybody been stationed here in Alaska?
We do have a few people on board who have been stationed here in Alaska. My chief and my XO are coming from the Alex Haley and the Monroe out of Kodiak, as well as some of my other petty officers on board have been stationed in Ketchikan before. My BM1 is coming from the base there. My EM1 is coming from the Anthony Petit.